Houston is hot, but the people are cool. You are in Rhonda's Lounge listening to Artist of Houston podcast. Stick around, listen up. It's going to be great.
Welcome. You are in Rhonda's Lounge listening to Artist of Houston podcast. You can find previous editions of the podcast on www.artistofhouston.com on the website, and we'll be up on iTunes soon. In the meantime, welcome to episode 4. Vincent Fink is going to be here with us today. Vincent is a surrealist. He is served by his dreams, a lot of his subject matter. I'm really curious to hear about that and many other things. He is the winner of the Lawndale Big Show 2015 and a big accomplishment being a finalist in the Hunting Prize 2 times. Fantastic. Vincent is also a clothing designer, has a line of clothes with his artwork featured. Very interesting, and I'm really happy that he's going to be here to talk to us. So let's welcome Vincent. Thank you. We are in Rhonda's Lounge listening to Vincent Fink.
Hello there.
He's going to be the 4th installment on Artist of Houston podcast.
Happy to be here.
Thank you. How do you like the sound booth?
It's wonderful. This is more than I expected.
It's very like our gang, Little Rascals or something, I think, right?
No, but you got it coming together here. I mean, you've got some nice gear here, some nice mics and stuff.
I'm trying.
It's coming along.
Yeah.
For interview number 4, you're doing well.
Thank you. Yeah. We're working on it. I really believe in promoting the artists of Houston, especially the ones of this campus. Mm-hmm. Of course, I have an affinity for Winter Street because we're both here.
I am partial to it myself.
Yeah, so... And I just wanted to do whatever I can just to get the word out there that there's some really talented people here. Mm-hmm. Everybody should come down. I especially like to promote Second Saturdays because it's free.
Right.
It's 12 to 5. People mm-hmm. could talk to you and probably even see you painting, right?
I don't do that too often now because every now and then I will. But usually I don't really paint during the... open studios because it seems like then people are afraid to talk to me or approach me. Mm-hmm. It's really strange how some people are, just kind of timid.
Very,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm just doing that to pass time till mm-hmm. somebody comes and talks, but then they think I'm like really involved in it. Mm-hmm. And
it's like a magic spell that will break
yeah.
if they talk to you.
Right.
Right.
Which, actually, it can get like that sometimes,
that's
too.
True.
So that's why I don't want to get too involved in it, right?
That's true.
Because then I'm going to get all focused, and then somebody's going to want to talk to me. I'm like, get away!
That's right. That's right. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I feel the same way.
So I try not to get too involved in anything like that if my intent is to interact with the public. Because, yeah, it's just funny, how timid they are, because sometimes people will come into the studio, and I'll have prints out, and they'll ask for my permission first just to thumb through them. And I'm thinking, like, I mean, they're displayed there in a little print rack for you to thumb through.
Right.
You know, and like, why would I say, no, don't touch those?
Right. I know.
But some people ask, you know, and sometimes I want to mess with them and just be like, no, those are not for looking through. You
yeah.
can only look at them from a distance.
You know,
that's my sarcasm.
Terrorize your clients.
Yeah, right, yeah, that's where my sarcasm comes in. That's where I have to mute out. And use a little bit of my my social filter to make sure that I don't...
Smart move.
Yeah.
Good for you.
That's something I think a lot of us artists have to learn, especially, you know, doing the open studios around here. We get a lot of traffic in here and, you know, of all walks of life, all kinds of people mm-hmm. who've seen art a lot. Some have never seen it before. Mm-hmm. Some of them are like, what is this? And it's like, hey, it's art.
Right. They need help, though.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people need help. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of trouble engaging people. And even now, I try to say, Rhonda, do not ask them if they've ever been to Winter Street. Because mm-hmm. every single artist in the building is asking that yeah. same question.
So. Oh, gosh. I guess I got to stop then, too.
Oh. Well, Vincent.
I don't always ask that, though.
Let's back up and mm-hmm. talk about your start in becoming an artist. Did you go to art school?
Yes. I went to the Art Institute of Houston mm-hmm. Right out of high school, pretty much, because my dad said, you're either going to college or you're getting your own place. Yeah. I wasn't ready for that yet. So, yeah, I went to art school and got a degree in media arts and animation. And really enjoyed that. I went for animation because I'd already been doing art my whole life. And I had this kind of arrogance, I guess, that was like, oh, well, I already know how to draw. I already know how to paint. What's something that they could teach me how to do that I don't already know? Or what's something they could teach me how to do that I could actually maybe make some money with? Mm-hmm. So, because, you know, that's...
Everybody needs money.
It's not really a fine art school. Yeah, it's more mm-hmm. of like a commercial art school. So I think that was a good move, though, because my intent was to make a living doing my art. That's what I wanted to do first and foremost. I didn't want to, like, do art as a hobby while I had a day job. You know, that's fine for most people, but for me, I'm just driven. It was kind of like a thing, you know, like I want to do what I'm passionate about for a living. I needed something like that. I'm kind of one of those kind of people, I guess. I'll get bored real quickly.
Yeah, I respect that focus, though, because, see, I'm the other person who has, you know, waited for life to happen.
Right.
And now I'm just getting started, and I can get really depressed thinking about the years that I missed putting in the work, just learning how to do it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So
that's kind of what I figured, is that, like, I know I could live an easier life if I put it on the side, but... And I knew it would be extremely hard, and it has been. It's been depressingly hard at sometimes, especially, you know, for my age. You know, sometimes you kind of look around and you're like, man, everybody's having fun mm-hmm. on the weekends. They all got fat paychecks, and I'm staying in every night working on art. But the thing was, is I was honing my craft, and I was learning, and still am, of course, learning how to... make a living off of it and get better at it. And, you know, that's the thing, is putting the time in, I guess, is mm-hmm.
It's too important.
It's invaluable, yeah.
Yeah, you have to do it.
Yeah, yeah. The time put in, you know, is always going to equal what you put out.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that whole 10,000-hour thing, I don't know if it's 10,000 hours. It mm-hmm. might be 40,000 hours.
Yeah. I forget how many hours they say. Yeah.
You know, you've got to put the work in.
Yeah.
You've got to do that. So, you went to school, and then you just jumped, boom, you jumped off.
Pretty much, yeah. So, you know, I was very weary of not getting a job in graphics and stuff once I left Art Institute. So, even though I started to realize that I probably wasn't going to get a job in doing animation in Houston mm-hmm. for what I was looking at, you know, I was still, again, I was young, and I wasn't really gearing my work and my portfolio towards a niche like I should have. Mm-hmm. They were telling me to, and I was starting to get the idea right towards the end. I was like, you know what? I think these professors are right, but it's a little late. So
maturity.
Yeah.
Maturity.
Yeah. So, you know, I could have maybe geared my portfolio of animations towards, like, medical animation is now what I think of when I think back then, what I really could have done that would have been more fun, or, you know, would have been interesting to me, mm-hmm. Since I like science. And medical animation probably would have been a really fun route, but I didn't. I had a bunch of characters, mm-hmm. you know, I was more interested in just the fun side of animation, like rigging a character and making them move and having funny scenarios happen, or just weird, dark imagery. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about doing music videos and stuff like that, so once I was done, my portfolio showed that I was, I guess you could say, talented or, you know, whatever, but it wasn't really marketed towards the animation field in Houston. So I did wind up finding myself in a graphic design job.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's pretty cool. You had all this experience with animation too. You mentioned medical animation. I just looked into medical illustration.
Yeah.
I mean, I've looked into it and thought about it, too. Mm-hmm. It's very complex now. There's mm-hmm. not too many accredited schools or whatever. But But you said no, you didn't want to do that. You were going to...
Yeah, you know, at the time I was, again, I was just very, you know, had my head in the sky a little bit. You know, I just wanted to do more creative things, which is probably, I mean, I followed my calling, I guess. You know, I felt like I needed to explore that and wound up getting into graphic design in town because there was a demand for that. And I found that that job was probably a little bit better for me anyway because it allowed me some free time here and there to kind of draw, you know, whatever was on my mind a little bit. Not that I was just doodling all day, but I was asked to draw designs. So I liked the fact that my job required me to do hand drawings. Mm-hmm. So I was constantly honing those skills and even pushing myself to do styles that weren't really mine. So even though that wasn't, you know, an artistic expression of myself, it was building my skill set, you know,
skills, yeah.
But pushing myself to do things in a timely manner in a style that I'm not familiar with. So there was just a lot of good drawing art lessons that I learned out of that mm-hmm. I don't think I would have gotten from an animation job. At an animation right. job in town, I think it would have just been a lot less creativity, a lot less drawing and stuff like that. Much more just kind of modeling stuff in 3ds Max. So I think it was a good move for me and my art. I needed to develop a voice and a style, and that's kind of where I was whenever I left Art Institute. Was I felt like I had all this ability now, and it's like now I know how to draw. I've even had some professional classes in college for drawing and painting, and I also learned how to 3D model. I learned how to make a website. So, I mean, I just know like everything now as far as art. But yet, I didn't know what I wanted to do with it. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know what I wanted to say. I didn't even know what my style was. You know, so it was kind of a weird, lost place to be.
I think it's a classic dilemma of an art student graduate.
Yeah,
you know,
probably.
It's like,
right?
Oh, what now?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you mentioned science. Mm-hmm. I think when you found your way, was that one of the paths that really made you start to blossom and know what you wanted to do? It seems to me that's
been one of them, yeah. That wasn't the first avenue, but it was probably, I guess you could say, the second. But yeah, so the first thing that really kind of gave me a direction was the dream, yeah, that I had one morning. I think it was early 2010, yeah. And it was just that I had this dream, and it was very lucid. You know, it was kind of as if I knew I was in this dream, because I remember seeing this artwork in actually my art director's home. Who I was working with at the time, and I just remember seeing it and thinking to myself, like, oh my god, this is amazing. I've got to stare at this as long as I can and try and remember this when I wake up. Mm-hmm. And so when I woke up, I remembered it and I started sketching it, and it developed over 5 months' time. I put more time into that thing than I'd ever put in any piece of art. Mm-hmm. I really kind of obsessed over it for those 5 months, and pushed myself to create something that was seemed far out of my ability. Mm-hmm. Far, you know, it was something that I didn't think I could really do. That was the thing in the dream of seeing this thing. Was like, wow, whoever did this, they're an amazing artist, much better than me. Uh-huh. So that was the challenge, I guess, was to try and live up in some degree to that artwork that I saw there. And in the process of that, I guess it pushed me to be that, you know, pushed me to the next level to be that artist.
I'm impressed that, I mean, I believe that dreams help guide your life, you mm-hmm. know, but retaining them is so difficult.
Right.
So it's impressive that you were so, you knew like the importance within the dream. Mm-hmm. Like, I got to remember this. That's
yeah.
pretty cool.
Yeah. And that doesn't happen often for me either. Mm-hmm. I don't have amazing, cool dreams that give me what my life's work is going to be very often.
Yeah.
You know, that was pretty much the one time something like that has happened. Although I have on several other occasions gotten inspired for either an artwork or a song. Mm-hmm. I'm also a musician, so I've written.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
What do you play?
Mostly guitar and vocals. I'm kind of a singer-songwriter, but I like playing acoustic, electric. I play bass. I played bass in a couple of bands.
Wow. So. I made you bring your guitar for them.
Right.
You could have done a little song here.
That would have been cool.
We'll do it another time.
Okay. All right.
I went to visit, first of all, Vincent is in A8.
B8.
I'm sorry, B8. Mm-hmm. B8 downstairs, one of the first studios you come across when you enter the building, and in entrance B, right. Also, you'll see Vincent right to the left. And in his studio, he has, of course, his awesome, intricate paintings, drawings. Mm. But he has a saw down there, too, I just noticed. And so tell me about the forms that you have built. I can't even pronounce them. I told Vincent he was being interviewed by not the smartest person in the world. But anyway.
Right.
I said that.
No worries. Those are tetrahedrons. And they're the most basic three-dimensional regular geometric form. Regular meaning that it has equal angles and equal sides measurements. And it's one of five of the most basic three-dimensional geometric forms, known as the five platonic solids. And they're named platonic solids because Plato assigned different elements to each of these five. So the one that you saw, the tetrahedron, because of its jagged spikiness, he assigned that one the element of fire.
Okay.
Yeah, and so each of the other four have other earth elements. You have air, water, the cosmos, or ether, the dodecahedron, and earth.
Cool. Very cool. They're really sculptures, don't you?
Yeah.
Don't you? Consider that?
I consider them, wood sculptures. I want to do more of them too. They're extremely hard.
Oh, I was gonna say. Yeah. I mean, if you told me to build one, it'd be like, I mean, I can't even imagine.
Right.
I don't know how to use a ruler.
Yeah, and I found some plans, and it took a really long time after searching the internet for a while to find some plans that I could actually understand.
Wow.
You know, because
look great.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, so I want to make more stuff like that and, you know, get more creative with it. What I did with those is I built them up into a stacking to where they kind of created a tetrahedral pyramid, smaller pyramids creating a larger one. I love that stuff. It was basically, you know, manifesting what I've been painting for a while. So that was, the second, I guess, love or inspiration style that I adapted. After I had that dream about a year or two later, then we started, me and my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, Tina, we had started a clothing line, and we wanted it to be, a science-inspired kind of clothing brand, like cool-looking science designs. And the first real series that we did was the five platonic solids. Okay. And so when we did that, it forced me to kind of focus on them for a while, because we did one for each shirt, so I really kind of thought about them. Basically, that developed into my next style. And so I've been actually painting iterations, as I call them, for probably about 4 or 5 years now, too. Yeah, at least 5 years, I think, now. And so, it's just kind of one project leads to another. So that's kind of interesting how that happens, too. You know, how sometimes something very inspiring may come out of a project that somebody else that you're working on with or whatever, you know, so you never know where your inspiration's going to come.
I depend on that, though, because I just know it's going to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to, I want to do so many of this particular painting, and after a while you're like, I think I should stop doing this.
Yeah.
But the other thing hasn't come to you, so I just keep going.
Right.
But it comes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to go. Definitely keep moving and try maybe like a few little experiments, a little variations on it here and there.
That's right.
That's kind of what my iterations have been about. You know, I've done a lot of the same kind of thing with it, but it seems like there's a lot more of different things happening with it, to the point where I'm almost feeling like the series is a bunch of series put together. You know, that kind of bothers me a little too, because I really want it to be a very consistent series, but I came to find that there's mini series in it where I can do a completely different aesthetic with these shapes, with these platonic solids and sacred geometric forms.
there's just so many different ways to combine those shapes. And
sounds like you have a lifetime of subject matter, almost.
I feel like I do. I don't feel like I'm ever going to run out of ideas with that series. I don't feel like I was coming close to the end of my rope with the first series either, the Atlas Metamorphosis, as I call it, the one that was inspired by the dream. So I have more ideas than I can get to. So I guess that's a good place to be.
Yeah, it's a great place to be. And I'm trying to stay focused myself because you didn't hear my intro for you, but I called you a Renaissance man because of all the things that you are involved in.
Oh, cool.
So one of the things on your website, apparently you have a contribution to a book on insects.
Mm-hmm.
And you have this god bug.
What, yeah, I call them actually God beetle.
God beetle.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. So I love beetles and insects too.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I have a couple in a box over there.
Oh, cool.
But anyway, yeah. So I want to hear about that. How that happened and what's that all about?
So that's the Atlas Metamorphosis series, and so that was the one inspired by the dream, and that piece has gotten me into a lot of really cool. Good shows, a lot of prestigious shows, and one of them was at this art science gallery in Austin, and I was part of their grand opening, and we did this really cool exhibit there, where there was some other artists, and one of them is also a scientist. I guess there's a couple of those, and so that's pretty cool that there's like artists who love science, and then there's like scientists who love artists, you know, so we kind of meet together every now and then in places awesome. Like that. Yeah. And, but anyway, a wonderful scientist and an artist named Barrett Kleene actually fell in love with that series of mine. And so we've kept in contact. He's bought a print and stuff. And then, yeah, he just kept me in mind, and somebody was talking about doing a book about bugs, and him being an entomologist, a bug expert, of course, he was involved with that. So when he was trying to think of, I guess, other artists who he thought would be a good match for the book, I came to mind and of course accepted. So yeah, I was just very happy to be a part of that.
So what's the title of the book?
Inspired by Insects.
And it's the author's name again?
I don't know right now. I don't think I'd check. I forget.
Vincent, we'll put it in the notes.
That was a couple months ago. It's already out of my short-term memory.
And you can check on vincentfink.com.
That's right. Yep. And you lost the cord.
That's okay.
But yeah, it's on my website. So if you go to vincentfink.com, you can see.
Check the book. Check for the book on your website.
Yes. Yeah. You'll see it right there on the homepage in the blog section. Yeah.
So the other thing that I love that you do is clothing. You mentioned your clothing.
Yes, .506.
.506 is the brand. Mm-hmm. Where can you find this at?
So you can find us online at .506.com, or you can also find us if you're Houston local. We're at Space Montrose.
Oh, okay. That's a great space.
Yeah, we've been there for
good place to years. Shop. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, it's a hipster destination for sure.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
It's a great little shop for anybody really though. I love it, and it's a really cool spot right there in Montrose on Westheimer and Dunlady.
Okay.
So yeah, that's the place to go if you want to check out our stuff and shop it in person.
Yeah, Christmas is coming. You should go and check out Vincent's pieces there, and it's full of artists' work.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of local artists and a lot of semi-local and national artists as well that they stock there. Lots of great makers.
I know you do shows. Is it primarily for your clothing or for your art?
Probably more for my art, but a little half and half. I mean, we tend to bring my clothing to most of the shows if I can, if it fits.
Sure.
You know, and sometimes we do shows that are specifically for
one of the shows that you do is a show that I've been trying to actually just go to, which is the Renegade Craft Fair.
Yeah.
And you actually were in that show?
Yeah,
out in LA?
In LA, yes.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I have a tiny LA connection, you know. Two of my kids live out there, so.
Oh, cool.
I know LA. I'm not going to say what I call LA, the beautiful ghetto, but that's not true.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful. It's kind of a tough town to live in, is all I'm saying. Like the traffic and everything.
I definitely enjoyed visiting and would love to visit again, and definitely want to explore more, though. I didn't feel like I had enough time to really explore, especially like the galleries and stuff.
Yeah. Did you get to the Getty? Did you get to go to the Getty Museum?
I don't know what that is.
It's the museum, the big museum there.
No,
it's up on a hill. Okay, when you go back, make that your destination. For years, it was like the only thing I wanted to do. Everybody was so like, what? We're going back to the Getty? And I'm like, please.
Yeah.
But it's huge. It's beautiful. You can spend the whole day there.
Have you ever been to San Francisco?
I've been to San Francisco, but I haven't been to any of the museums there.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't go to the museum. Well, I went to the Exploratorium while we were there. I had a little art fair kind of thing that we went out there for, along with the Renegade in LA. So I kind of had a little art tour last year. And we went to, both of those were new places for me, but I really enjoyed San Francisco. I really enjoyed going to the Exploratorium.
And it sounds fun.
Yeah, it's just like this, it's more like a place that most parents would bring their kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I had so much fun there. There's just all these cool little interactive science.
I'm never going to not be a kid. Let's just stay kids. It's the way to enjoy life, right?
I think so. Yeah. You know, I don't feel like the kid was ever beat out of me yet. So I'm trying not to let
Don't let the man beat you down. Right. Beat it out of you.
You know, I think that's what being an artist is about too, in a way. It's about letting a little bit of that flair of being a child kind of live on, maybe.
Staying playful
with
life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a quote over there. I think Pablo Picasso said it, or maybe George O'Keefe, but it was like, every child is an artist. The problem is staying an artist.
Right.
Yeah. So there, that's kind of
exactly
in that same.
Some people just get it whipped and beat
too serious. Mm-hmm. Just too serious. And I get it. I mean, man, life can get you down, you know, but you got to keep going. So.
Yeah. Definitely. Oh, well, you know, the world is a twisted place.
Twisted.
But you got.
We're here to tell you that. If anybody didn't know,
it's pretty twisted.
Sorry for the bad news, but
but that's why we're here, to make things better.
That's, you know what? That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that's why art really does serve a purpose. It's beautifying an otherwise less beautiful world, right?
It elevates. Yeah. It elevates the spirit. I mean, that was the foundations of putting marks down. Mm. You know, the really refined things with the church, which that's another subject.
Yeah.
But the church was promoting that because they're like, oh my God, there's sewage running in the streets. Everybody's got boils all over them. Mm-hmm. We have to get them in the church and make them feel good there. So
right. They provided relief.
Yeah, they provided a major relief. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's a real subject that I'm interested in, is mm-hmm. beauty and elevating the spirit for those reasons. That's why I can't really, I mean, I don't know that I found my voice like you're talking about. I haven't found your voice. I have a series going and all that kind of stuff, but I just know that I have to do something that's beautiful. Try to be beautiful, mm-hmm. you know? That's difficult. So
it is. That's
that's
a very, you know, daunting task.
Yeah.
To aim for beauty and
But there's enough, you know, crap dumped on people, so I don't need to do it. So, you know, that's how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. So, anyway. Along with Vincent's many accomplishments that we've already talked about, they have also been recognized. I'm really, really jealous. You have been nominated for the Hunting Prize, which is on hiatus right now, but we're hoping they get their
Me too,
money.
I was really hoping that third time would be the charm.
Be the charm. Mm-hmm. Vincent was a finalist in the Hunting Prize, which is a very prestigious contest here in Texas, specifically for Texas artists, which Texas is huge, so it's not like, it's a competition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's pretty impressive. And in 2015, you won the big show at the Lawndale Arts Center, correct?
Right.
And have been juried into that show a few times.
Yeah, so this year was my third time for that one.
Awesome! Congratulations.
Really, really happy about that. It's just nice that these are shows also where there are different guest jurors coming from, often other states and other places. So it feels good to know that random people of art authority,
there
if you
go.
Want to say, have seen value in what I do. That feels good, because again, I've definitely made life harder than it needed to be as far as these early years of my life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it would really suck if I did all this and nothing became
Never.
Of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's nice when a few things go
I don't
right.
think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think you're on your way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you feel, but every project is better than the last,
mm-hmm.
you know?
I think so. I mean, I'm always pushing towards, like you said, too, about like trying to be better. So I do think with that kind of work ethic, you know, you're able to look back and see over a year, a couple of years' time, you can definitely see a progress. And I'm proud of it. So
you should be.
Sometimes I get a little jaded because of the industry and the way things work out. And there's always
mm-hmm.
One as an artist has to be very cautious of comparing yourself to others.
Sure.
You know, that I think every artist can find another artist who's doing way better than them.
Sure. Yeah.
And who may even be doing way better than you that you don't maybe necessarily think are way better than you as a skillful artist. Or maybe they are. Maybe they just destroy you. Either way, there's always somebody doing better.
And yeah.
So there's always that. You have to deal with that and be able to not get yourself down and try not to compare yourself too much. That's
yeah.
what I'm always trying to do is keep myself in check and just, be happy about what I have done. And when I do get any whim of jealousy or something like that, just try to... make it a positive thing and realize, okay, well, what am I doing wrong that makes me feel that way?
Mm-hmm.
And now I got to fix that. Okay.
Right.
I haven't been talking to galleries. I haven't even been looking at galleries. So
right.
I can't get mad if a bunch of galleries aren't
right.
supporting me right now.
but your thing about putting in the work is really the ticket too. It's
mm-hmm.
all, see, I'm like that too. I'm like, oh my God, that painting or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, you know what? They've been doing this, you know, I know that they put in 8 hours every day and
right.
that type of thing. And,
right.
and yeah, they know how to market like crazy.
Yeah, all the
and
marketing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's
a lot of things.
There's
it's,
a lot that needs to come together and it has
mm-hmm.
to be like well planned and has to be done in the right stages.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
It'll happen. Don't worry about
right.
it.
You know,
it's
I
all
think,
good.
Yeah. Everybody needs to make sure that they have what they feel is quality work too, you know, and
That's
have a
right.
nice repertoire. You can't just kind of come out with just whatever because you're excited. Like that's what I'm trying to do. At least I'm trying to not like come out too fast, you know. I want to
give your art time.
Yeah, just give the art time to develop and make sure that it's where it needs to be before you come out into the world stage and say, hey, this is me, right?
I know that excitement you're talking about though.
Mm-hmm.
Of paintings I'm so excited about, I was so excited about, and they're sitting in my garage
mm-hmm.
like just getting mildewed, and I'm like,
really? Why are they there? They should at least be in the studio.
No, because I've moved on. You know, it's like I look back on it, I learned the lesson that it taught me, but I was excited about it at the time, but it's not where I am now.
Oh,
so I have to keep going. You
right.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I know what you're talking about with that excitement.
Yeah.
But you've got a good balance. You're looking at the big picture, so mm-hmm. it's going
to
be
trying
great.
Trying to, you know.
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up with just what's right in front of you, you know. And that,
I know.
What's always right in front of me is, oh, I need more paintings, you know. Because,
yeah.
And that so that's kind of the battle, too, is like, man, I have to get better and faster at the same time. I have to get faster to where my volume can stack up to the amount of sales I'm having that's actually sustaining life,
mm-hmm.
plus have enough to like sustain a gallery.
Yes.
So, wow, that's a lot of work, especially for a surrealist.
Listen, you can get really overwhelmed with that because
yeah.
I have sat down and said, okay,
you try and do the math, right?
How
like
much
how
time?
Many,
yeah, put 40 hours into this thing.
Yeah.
So how many paintings can I make a year?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
da 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 da. And then it's like, oh well, yeah,
yeah.
It's a problem.
So doing realism like you're doing as well,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that stuff becomes a lot harder to manage once you start looking into the logistics of that
mm-hmm.
Versus, you know, there's other forms. You know,
yeah.
that take a lot less time, and sometimes I'm like, why didn't I pick that style?
I know, I know.
but,
Trust
but, you
me.
Know, I just obviously I picked this because this is what is important.
This is what moves you. Yeah. That's right. And that's what that's me. I was in the belly dance world for a long time, and so I was doing these stylized belly dancers. Mm-hmm. I was enjoying it. I went to the shows and that kind of thing, but I said it's taken away from me doing my realistic portraits and figures, and those take a lot of time, and so I just said just do that, you know. Mm-hmm. You just keep going back to that thing. That's what moves me. That's what makes me happy. So
see, it does sound like you might know what your thing is.
I know that. It's just a matter of composition and that type of thing. That's why I was very curious also in our studio visit. Vincent had, we had a similar setup where we use a photo reference on our iPads, mm-hmm. but you have modified it to put all the elements that you want in it, mm-hmm. which is great and very interesting too. Yeah. Like that mud bottom of the current painting you're working on. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. How did you choose that?
It's ideas upon ideas, you know. That's how I guess I tend to work. The iterations are just, building one iteration upon the next. There had been a couple paintings I did where there was like a fish floating in a desert with this like dried up seabed underneath like that. Mm-hmm. So I've actually done that a couple times. So this is actually like the third time I've put that into a painting, but you know, it's a lot bigger and a much different image now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it's got that. It's got some things I've done before, but it's also expanding and trying new things. See, so that's the thing. I'm always pushing myself into new directions just to see what happens. And sometimes, you know, this is the scientific method, actually. Really, mm-hmm. it's kind of a scientific method of art where basically I'm going to do the same thing that I did last time, but I'm going to change one variable each time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I might change more than one variable. But
yeah. See what your outcomes.
Small little tweaks and trying new little things each time just to see what it does. And eventually I feel like just like the scientific method led Thomas Edison to the perfect light bulb design that it's going to get me there. Eventually, I'm going to reach that point, and maybe not, but you know, maybe I'll reach this point where it's like, okay, there's not much more experimentation that needs to be done. I know the formula, and this is everything is going to be like this from now on. And I kind of hope to reach that point, but I also fear it because I fear that if I reach that point, then I'm going to get bored. And then I'm not going to want to paint anymore. And that's really scary. Like, I'd mm-hmm. almost rather never find my voice and keep painting mm-hmm. than, like, not... Or then find my voice and become bored with it and not ever want to paint anymore.
Well, I'm much older than you. And... I'm much older than you. I'm having technical difficulties today. I'm so sorry. But I can tell you I've had this thought, too. Also, because of just the fact that I'm starting later in life and everything, even though I wanted to do this when I was younger, too. I just didn't do it. But I don't think I'm ever going to be bored. And I think I'm going to paint till I'm so decrepit, you know, like it's still going to be exciting to me. Because, I mean, we have a lot of mentors who have done that, you know, Matisse and... I mean, I hate to mention Gloria Vanderbilt, but she's on my mind right now because she's like 90 years old and she's still painting and she's done so many other things too, but she's a very interesting mm-hmm. woman. But I don't think you'll get bored. I think you'll, as soon as you master that thing or you feel like you're like, drop the mic.
Yeah.
You'll be like, well, wait a minute. Think you'll be able to, because I think your mind is too busy.
I hope I'd be able to ride that out after so much searching, you know. It'd be nice to ride that out and enjoy it. But I just know myself, sometimes me personally, I might get bored of it if I perfect it. it seems like sometimes that's like where things have led me, where like the pursuit really was the fun of it, and once I finally got there, it was just kind of like,
oh, you're right, talking, you're talking like a caveman, a man. Well, I don't think so, and it'll be very interesting to continue to watch your career, and I think you're going to always have something interesting to see. So just keep doing it.
Well, and the thing is if I were to say perfect that painting style and get bored with it, that's not to say that I would get bored with everything else art.
Right.
Because I have been doing, like you said, the tetrahedral sculptures. So if I, for some
strange reason got tired of painting or drawing, I suppose I would probably just invest those creative forces into three-dimensional works or something else. And that's why also it's kind of good to be a Renaissance man, because then I'll have all these other options. If I got tired of sculpture, then I could go back into 3D modeling or video animations, 2D animations, you know, hand-drawn animations or 3D animations or rotoscoping, directing,
claymation. Who knows?
You know, there's just so much.
Listen to you. See?
Music, you know. I've wanted to put all these things together before, you know, and so that's also a little, like, just idea that I've had marinating in my mind ever since God knows how long, is to somehow put together my music and my art. And I do feel like someday that's going to happen too. That's kind of one of the phases of metamorphosis that I hope to see my art go through in the future. And I'm still kind of trying to do that now, but who knows when that's going to actually come to see the light of day.
I think it's very exciting listening to you, because you are very excited about what you're talking about. So that's really cool. So tell me, has the big show happened yet?
The big show for this year has already happened.
It's happened? Yeah, okay. Yeah. So next year. I wish you luck for next year then.
Alrighty.
And good luck with the entry in the insect book. That's so cool.
Thank you, yes.
And your clothing line and all the paintings you have going and the sculptures, of which I cannot pronounce. And I just want to encourage everyone to come out and continue the conversation with Vincent and learn more about what he's doing and what makes him really animated, which is a whole bunch of things, apparently. Don't touch him if he's painting, though. He might wake up a tiger. So anyway, thank you, Vincent, for coming and talk to me in this sound booth and putting up with my technical difficulties today. But
no worries.
We'll fix everything.
It's been wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Me. Talk to you soon.
Yes. Remember to visit Vincent in B8 at the Winter Street Studios. Open every second Saturday, 12 to 5.
See ya.
See ya.
Thank you, Vincent, for coming in. It was a great interview. I so enjoyed talking to you. I'd like to just encourage everyone to come out second Saturdays, 12 to 5. I cannot say this enough. Second Saturdays at the Sawyer Yards Arts District. I am located in Winter Street. Our guest today was Vincent Fink. He is in Winter Street downstairs in B8. And you would do yourself a big favor to come on down and check us out.